back slightly mad. 20 minutes past one. Harry's challenge today. Slightly late, a little bit later than normal, and it is an absolute cracker today. That's all I'm going to say. Absolute cracker. Right, 20 minutes past one. I'm delighted to welcome my guest into the studio this morning, Arthur Leakley. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. I always say that. I can never get the day of the time right. Right, Arthur, you are here to talk about... we're not really talking about Brexit. We're talking about after Brexit. And we're talking about... what's been really been going on in the last week, what Theresa May said in Parliament and around the world. Just talk quickly about you. What is your background what is your interest in this? How have you become involved in Open Britain?
Okay. Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me in today. In the past, I've had an interest in politics. I've had an interest particularly in the European Union. But as a bystander, and like many people, I got interested during the referendum campaign. But I wasn't actively involved at that time, but I was interested watching what the politicians did and see what the result was. The result surprised me, and I decided after that actually there's no point just watching and listening. You've actually got to do something, and you've got to say what you think. And that's the reason for getting involved in Open Britain today.
Regardless which way you voted, that's the one good thing, I think, that came out of the referendum, was that the sudden interest in politics. My teenage children were asking me questions about, you know, in or out, etc. And, you know, they couldn't care less before. I couldn't tell you who the Prime Minister was. But now they suddenly had an interest and everybody was talking about it.
Absolutely. And you know, this is a massive decision for the nation. No one's in it. That's the one thing everyone can agree on. And we saw last year that everybody had a point of view. Sometimes it was based on just a heartfelt opinion. Sometimes it was based on fact. Doesn't matter. People had a real interest in what was going on. And that's what politics is about. It's got to matter to people.
Yeah, I mean, we've had many debates in this studio. I've had politicians and campaigners for both campaigns, and we've argued the whiz and ins and outs for, and that argument is done, and we've had that vote. I think there's still some unclarity about the vote, because the actual Referendum Act didn't actually say you have to abide by the result. Mm-hmm. But then the Exeters would say, well, you know, you're just putting the wool over eyes. I would say also that it was probably the worst-run campaign by both parties over the whole period. I think the Remain camp was poor, very, very poor on information, and the people held up in front. And the exit campaign was, well, a host of lies, really, and promises that were just nonsensical. And then once, you know, there's a fantastic picture of Farage and Boris Johnson in a car, and that, you know, that it's actually Laurel and Hardy. But we've got what we want. Goodbye, you know, and off they go in the distance. And you know, of course, both stood down immediately. They got their result, you know, and it was just wow. What have you done, you know? Yeah. But that's not what you're here to talk about. You're here to talk about what happens now. So, in your view, what is Open Britain about?
Okay, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Everything now is about the future. There's no point looking back to June the 23rd. That's been and done. Everybody accepts we're leaving the EU. That's not the point of argument. Open Britain now is about bringing people together so we don't have a them and us, leavers and remainers, because that's sort of no benefit to anybody. Mm-hmm. It's how do we bring people together to actually make their voice heard so that politicians actually hear what the public want, and particularly what business wants. I think business didn't have a fair hearing, didn't have a proper hearing during the referendum campaign. Business is about jobs, obviously, and it's about people's livelihoods. And I think business needs to get up and stand up and make its case very clearly. Otherwise, we'll leave it to politicians again, and we may get an answer we don't really like.
Do you feel that the politicians who are dealing with this at the moment, their heart isn't really in it? Do you feel that some of the statements are coming out from the Brexit cabinet that have been set up? Do you think they're almost playing lip service to the result?
Well, it's an interesting way of looking at it, Mike. I think what my concern is that politicians can only, or tend only, to look 5 years ahead. This decision is going to affect us for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
And that's my great concern. It's our children's and our grandchildren's future that we're really talking about now. And frankly, a politician is not directly involved in that, although they have children and grandchildren, of course. But that's my concern, is that this could be seen as a very short-term discussion. with a short-term aim, looking at 2 years hence. What we've really got to be thinking is, what's the impact of this going to be over the next 20 years minimum?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could come back here in 5 years' time and go, wow, that was a great decision. We really did make the right choice there, and everything is hunky-dory. It could be the other way. Time will tell.
Yeah, and I don't even believe in 5 years we'll know. It could be 15, 25 years, and that's the hard thing. No one pretends this is easy. But, I mean, this strikes me. It's the equivalent of starting to knock your own house down and then start to think, I wonder where I ought to live now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in this process. We're going through the demolition process, and that's pretty painful. But if you knew what you were going to be doing next, you'd say, yeah, it's worth it. I'm going to knock my house down, and I'm going to build this fantastic new house, and I know what the budget is, and I know what I'm going to be doing, and then I'm up and running. We're not at that stage. We don't even know if we've got any bricks to build a new house with.
Exactly, and I think most people who did vote to remain are annoyed at the fact that there was no plan to what happens should we vote to go out, which is exactly what has happened. We still don't know what the plan is, and people are confused with hard and soft and whatever the hell that means. And I'm using strong language, but I don't know. I don't really know what it means. Does hard mean a complete cut everybody off and we'll start again? And does a soft mean, well, we'll have a bit of this and a bit of that?
Yeah, and I think that's really how we're looking at it now. We obviously had Theresa May at the beginning of the week setting out her vision of 12 priorities, which were broadly a hard exit, leaving pretty quickly, although she accepted it would need a transition period, so even that sort of shifted a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we're setting out our stall, and this is what we want, and then we're out. Well, that's fine, except there are two parties to this negotiation. In fact, there are 28 parties, aren't there? And then there's going to be other people outside. So this is really complicated. And I think the great problem is, you're absolutely right what you said. People were led to believe that decision last year would create a solution, and they thought that the government would be in a position to do something about it. And I think it's disgraceful, actually, that whether we're Remainers or Leavers, we were led to believe that decision would create something hopefully positive. Because we were told within 24 hours, we don't have a plan. I don't think there was a plan, actually, if we'd be remained either.
No, I quite agree.
So for some reason, we were left in this vacuum. 7 months later, we're just about starting to get a bit of air in this vacuum. And I think that's why the public now needs to get involved.
I almost feel sorry for Theresa May, actually. I feel she's been really thrown into the deep end. You know, talked to Theresa May a year ago and say, well, you'll be Prime Minister and you've got the biggest political process to go through ever, you know, since the Second World War, really, and deal with it, you know. And wow, you know, it's a huge, huge responsibility. If it goes, she's damned if she does and damned if she doesn't, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to admire anybody's courage who goes into a job like that in the situation that she's in. So I agree with you. I think really, really tough job. Not only has she got to deal with the whole of the population, she's got to deal perhaps even harder with her own party.
Yeah.
And keeping her own party together is going to be a tough job.
Okay, so what is Open Britain? Is Open Britain a new party, or is it just an information service, or what is it?
It's a cross-party organisation. It's got MPs from all the main parties, and they're coming together, and they're putting aside some of their differences, policy differences, and saying, this is now about us all talking about what is best for Britain. Now, that's easy to say, because everyone has a different view of what's the best for Britain. But what they're doing is coming together and saying, we need business to have a conversation, we need the public to have a conversation with politicians, we need to listen to our international partners, and we really need to drive this forward. And particularly, we need to hear from young people, because they are the future. And if we as older people, I'm in my 50s, if we think we've got all the right answers for the future, then we're badly mistaken. Whether this is going to work or not work is going to be the people in their 20s and 30s, or indeed even people who are just being born today. They're going to make this work or not work.
So, I mean, you called Open Britain. Are you going to try and be as open as you can and make sure that people who are interested are got access to way things are going. Is that the idea, really?
Absolutely. What we want to do is that people have a voice. They can come to us as an organisation. They can get involved in some activity. But really, it's when there's a vote in Parliament, and Theresa May made very clear that there's going to be a vote in probably 2 years' time about the final deal, if it's done by then, that our politicians, our particular MP, Eric Pickles in our case, but whoever it happens to be, absolutely knows what his or her constituents want from that deal, and that there's no misunderstandings. Because what we don't want is politicians to make a decision and then the public says, hang on, that's not what I wanted at all. And that's our, you know, that's our responsibility as individuals, to get our voice heard, because we can't blame politicians if they're, okay, we can blame them for not listening, but we can't blame them if we're not doing the talking. And that's what we've got to do.
Well, you've got a tough task, because there's a huge history of politicians not listening to their constituents and voting completely against what their constituents want. That's another story. So what's the timetable for getting this all set up and running?
OK, well, in Brentwood, we're launching our campaign tomorrow on the High Street. So we'll have a stall outside Marks & Spencer's there, M&S. And we'll be putting out leaflets, and we'll be asking people to sign either a petition, if people want to, which says, you know, I want to be involved in this debate, but also a questionnaire. What do people really want out of the deal? What's the top priority? And whether that's about immigration, or whether it's about jobs, or whether it's about workers' rights, or the environment, let's hear that. But equally, what don't you want from this deal? Because politicians need to hear what people don't want as well as what they do want.
Do you think you're going to get the same sort of answers you've got? Had you asked, are you going to remain or are you going to vote out, if you'd asked the survey a year ago?
I think people are a lot more informed. So I think whatever people decide now or think now, I think it has a lot more information behind it. I mean, no one was talking about customs union or the single market in great detail at the time of June the 23rd. I don't pretend. I was taking a lot of interest. I don't pretend I knew, had the level of detailed knowledge that I actually have got now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think many people will be the same.
Exactly. I didn't realise the impact it would have. You know, we've got the stock market has gone through the roof, and it's fantastic at the moment. But also the currency, you know, the pound is it's worse for, you know, what's the dollar doing? You know, I was speaking to somebody the other day. I'm not going on my holiday now. A, because of Trump, but B, because you know, the cost is, you know, 25% more than it was before June 23rd. You know?
Absolutely. And we're getting so many contradictory views, aren't we? And you just stated a couple of them. We don't know. Yeah, some of the things that have improved since the vote, probably nothing to do with the vote. Some of the things that have got worse, probably nothing to do with it. But everyone is claiming everyone's saying, oh, that's because of Brexit, or that isn't because of Brexit.
And the pound rallied slightly the other day because of Theresa May's opening sentence. How does that happen? How does that happen? I just don't understand it. You know, it affects so many things, you know.
Yeah, someone will make money out of this, I'm sure that's the case.
You've nailed it on the head there. Somebody's making some money somewhere, you know, for incorrect reasons. Right, okay. How do we get in touch with Open Britain? Is there a website? Is this a national thing?
This is it's a national grassroots organisation, and there is a website. It's open_britain.co.uk. And the idea is that we get behind that, sign up to it, absolutely free. You don't have to pay any money. If you want to become an active follower, you can buy leaflets, but you don't have to do any of that. This is about getting people's opinions and getting people to engage in this debate, but in a positive way, that we're saying this is what we want, this is what we're prepared to trade. You know, there's got to be a bit of a compromise here.
Yeah.
We can't go into Europe, we can't go to any business negotiation and say, right, that's what I want, and you're going to give it to me, because everyone will turn around and say, well, you're not getting that. So we've got, you know, I recognise Theresa May had to, that was her starting position. She knows, she's intelligent, she knows that's not her final position. But what are we prepared to give, what are we prepared not to give?
Okay, Arthur, thank you very much for coming in today. Remind me, where and when are you tomorrow in Brentwood?
So we'll be in Brentwood High Street from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock outside M&S, and we'll have a stall, we'll have a number of volunteers, and we'd love to see people, and yeah, I don't mind what people have to say, whether they're leavers or remainers, or they're just undecided, or they didn't vote, doesn't matter. If you're interested enough in Britain's future and your next generation's future, come along and come and see us.
Arthur, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.